Blog Talk Radio.
Your kingdom down, Lord Jesus. The preachers are gonna preach your kingdom down. Good God Almighty, and yes, for the preachers
are gonna preach
your kingdom down. Oh yes, you've been building your kingdom. Oh yes, hallelujah. Not only that, but listen up, for the mothers are going to pray your kingdom down. Good God Almighty,
for
the mothers. Not only that, but listen. Satan, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Yes, we are. Oh, Satan, we're gonna bring it down. I got one more verse, listen. But the deacons are gonna pray your kingdom down. Glory be to God
for the deacons.
God's morning, and welcome to the Purpose of Closures Blog Talk Radio, spending time with God and your host. I am Cassandra Brand. Yeah, I like to start the show off with that because we are one day at a time tearing the kingdom, the devil's kingdom down, starting our day off as soldiers. You know, I have a testimony I want to share with y'all, but you know what we do, how we start off. We start off with positive thoughts and affirmations to manifest things for ourselves, loving ourselves,
It's time to create your reality. It's time to consciously choose the life you desire. And it all begins by what you think. Your thoughts create your reality. If you want change in your life, it begins by changing your thoughts. And in changing your thoughts, you are shifting or shedding old ways and moving into a new reality. Use these affirmations to begin to program your subconscious mind. By listening to them entering your conscious mind, you will begin to imprint your subconscious mind. And not necessarily asking how change will occur, but rather just allowing, trusting, letting go, and allow your new thoughts to be born when divine timing is called. Listen to these affirmations for 30 days at any time, preferably as you drift off to sleep, to allow them to enter into your subconscious mind with a greater ease. And simply observe the changes that you will begin to see in your life as they unfold. Be the change that you would like to see in your world. It all starts with you. Many blessings to you of abundance, love, and happiness. I am improving myself on a daily basis. I have the power to change. I take care of myself. I am naturally confident and successful. I am grateful for all I have in my life. I am constantly growing and developing. I use positive self-talk on a daily basis. I believe in me. I love and respect myself. I encourage myself and others. I am fully confident in who I am. I pay attention to the good things in my life. I am at peace with who I am. I choose to forgive myself and others. I am respectful to others. I feel confident with who I am. Positive self-talk ensures my independence. I am healthy, wealthy, and wise. I create my own reality from my heart and mind. My body is beautiful. Take time to relax before going to bed. I am dreaming my purpose into being right in this very moment. I practice patience each day. I am at peace with myself. I take care of my physical body. I live each day moment to moment. I am the co-creator of my life. I make good decisions each day. I live in a world where I am valued. Have inner peace. I am stress-free. I am comfortable with myself. Confident person. I live my life with abundance. I believe in myself. It's okay to be me. I respect Mother Nature and divine timing. I am a positive thinker. I accept myself for who I am. I see the world for what it is. I feel comfortable in my own space. I am moving on from my past. I always take the time to wind down at the end of the day. On the path to a better future. It's okay to feel all of my feelings. I take 100% responsibility for my life. My mind is focused on creating a better future. I am courageous. I am brave. I am relaxed and calm. I am fearless. I always stand up for myself.
Yes, God's morning. God's morning. I hope you enjoy. I pray that you enjoy. Matter of fact, I know you enjoy the affirmations. life-changing affirmations for yourself. And one of the keys, one of the keys to self-love is speaking positive affirmations and love on yourself. Excuse me, I'm going to take a sip of water. Enjoy the affirmations. It has changed my life. Now, we do these for 30 days, and then next month we'll change to a different affirmation. Both will be positive, self-love, and as we grow. I have gotten a testimony on affirmation. People find it very interesting, positive, and helpful. A lot of people don't understand what the affirmations is about, but it's about manifestation in your own life. Now, if you can call in 319-527-6072, or you can just listen in. Just click that button, or you can do a replay. And if you find some value in this for someone else that you love besides yourself, share. Tell them about spending time with God on the Purpose of Closure Blog Talk Radio. Excuse me. It is early in the morning sometimes. I just have that in my throat. But the show must go on no matter what it looks like. Also, check out my YouTube channel and subscribe. Hit the notification button. It's building and growing. If you're interested in purchasing any of my books, go to thepurposeofclosure.com, or you can find it on Amazon, The Purpose of Closure by Cassandra Brand. Volume 1, 2, and 3. And then we have my last book is 10 Wrong Reasons to Get Married. Not discouraging anyone, but understanding why some people actually do get married. If you don't love yourself, it's hard to love someone else for the rest of your life. We have a very high rate of divorce, you know, in our country here in the United States. So make sure you understand, you know, why are you getting married? First, marry yourself. And then the Word of God also says that we are his bride. Okay? We're going to listen in with Dr. Miles Monroe, okay, Keys to Self-Love. We're going to listen to him today. Today is Friday, and sometimes it's good to hear somebody else's voice, right? Amen. Especially if they're great teachers of the Word of God, and this is what this is about. So let's get an earful on Keys to Self-Love by Dr. Miles Monroe.
And you can write this down. The most important pursuit in life is to be single. Totally single. Say that with me. Say it again loud, together. The most important thing in life is to be totally single. Say it again. The most important thing in life is to be totally single. I know you don't believe that yet. So I'm going to prove that before we leave here. Number two, singleness is the foundation of all relationships. Say that with me. Singleness is the foundation of all relationships. And that includes you and your boss, student and teacher, parents and children, citizens and politicians, friends, colleagues, and of course, in relationships that are more intimate, like marriage. Your singleness is the foundation of all of those relationships. How you get along on your job is totally determined by your singleness. Number three. Singleness determines the quality of relationships personally, socially, and professionally. I want you to take this to heart, please. If you're having problems on your job, getting along with people, that's a singleness problem. If you always seem to have tension with people in your office or on the job as a plumber, or always having fights and stress relationships in your department or in the police force or in the hotel, wherever you work, that's a sign that you are suffering from a singleness problem. If you're having problems personally with your spouse, that's a sign that you and your spouse are both perhaps struggling with a singleness problem. I want to prove that tonight from some facts based on Scripture. Let me first of all begin with this concept. The most important relationship in life is not interpersonal relationship. Most of us probably focus too much on getting along with other people. Matter of fact, this is why I got single bars. And single dance and single boat rides and single, everyone trying to go to these places so they can get along with someone else or find someone else. And I want to suggest to you that that is not your priority. Your most important relationship is not interpersonal relationship, but it is intrapersonal relationship. Your first and most important relationship you should develop is not with other people, but with yourself. That is called intrapersonal relationships. And why is this so important? Because the most important person you should desire to know is not other people, but yourself. And the average person in this planet know very little about the truth about themselves. They keep putting on other people's images. We live other people's expectations. We allow society to create us, and instead of having a self-concept, we have an other concept. That means we have a picture that people want us to look like. And this third point is important. Self-knowledge is the key to all relationships. Even knowledge of your strengths may be important to you, but also your weaknesses are important. You have to know where you are weak. Because if you don't know where you are weak in your own self, that will become a hindrance to all relationships you have. You need to know what you have to manage. I think a lot of us know some things about ourselves that we deny. We sometimes want to say that someone made us do certain things, when in fact we decided to do it because of our tendencies, and we need to manage those things. We must be careful that we don't blame other people for ourselves. And point number four, the most important person for you to love is not other people, but it's you. If I was to say my most important point tonight, this is it right here. The most important person for you to love is you. Say that with me. The most important person for me to love is myself. Say it again. The most important person for me to love is who? Myself. I want to prove that also tonight, because that is part of your conditions of stress. We always talk about loving our neighbor, and we even misquote the scriptures in this regard. But let me just give you something. Let's look at a scripture for a minute where we get this idea from. Jesus was asked a question by someone, and it's a very important question, and to understand the question, you got to understand who was talking. The person who asked him the question was a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a religious leader of that day. Pharisees were trained in all the laws of Moses and the prophets. There were 669 laws, write that down, you're going to remember that, that the Pharisees tried to obey. In other words, they studied the whole Old Testament, especially the first five books called the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, and they extracted every single law or anything that looks like a law, they extracted it because they wanted to obey them so they could be righteous before God. So there were 669 laws when they counted them up. Now that's a lot of laws to try and remember. I won't talk about trying to keep. No wonder why they were always frustrated, because they were far, you see. That's why they call it a sad, you see. They were sad, you see. They were trying to do this stuff that was so tough. And it's very interesting. One of them came to Jesus and asked a very important question, and I think it's the kind of question you and I would want to ask too. In other words, look, I grew up in my father's Jewish house. I've been to the synagogue. I took theology. I'm a Pharisee. You know, I've been trying to get this thing to work for the last, 50 years of my life. Look, Jesus, you seem to be very smart. Okay, can you tell me, out of all the 69 laws, here was the question, which one is the greatest to keep? In other words, if I was going to keep one law more than all the others, what's the most important law for a human to keep before God? That was a good question. Because 669, that's too many to remember. And I wouldn't even talk about trying to keep. So can you boil it down for me, Jesus? Just break it down. Just give me the main one. And his answer blew their minds. He didn't say, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't curse, don't worship other gods. He didn't say that. He just said, the most important law is this. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all of your mind. And then he did something the man didn't ask. The man asked him for one answer. And that's important. But he gave him two answers to one question. Why? Because he couldn't answer the question with one answer. Because the question required two answers. Now notice what the answers were. He said, first of all, you should love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. But then he kicks in. He says, oh, and the second one is just like the first. Now the man didn't ask you for the second one. There's only one question. But you see, Jesus said, look, the second one is connected to the first. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. See, a lot of us find it easy to say we love God. We worship, we give, I love you, Lord, and I praise you, Lord. And, you are faithful to church, and you're always going out to these meetings and prayer meetings, and, you go witnessing. And God said, okay, that's fine, but what about the second part? I know you love me. But he says, the second one is just like the first one, which means they are equal. This is deep. He says, and the second one is like the first one, and here it is. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then he says, all the 669 laws are in this one law. If you keep this one law, you don't need the 669. Love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. Now, I want you to read that verse very carefully. He did not say, love your neighbor first. And that's where we keep making a mistake. We keep trying to love people without the prerequisite. Let me break it down for you. I did a research on this verse when I was in school in university. It's one of the verses that I researched with my professor, who's going to be here next week, Dr. Jerry Horner. He was the leading, and still is one of the leading Greek scholars in the entire United States. He helped to translate the NIV Bible. He also translated this New Spirit Bible. This guy is good. He'll be with us next week. Make sure don't miss him being here. You will go advanced like that when you read the Bible. The guy is good. But in his class at university, I remember him, we went through this whole chapter, and it shocked me when he gave us the meaning of the root word that Jesus used. First he says, it says love God, which means to pursue and focus on God's character and God's nature and God's qualities. When you love someone, you want to pursue them. You want to understand them. You want to get to know them. You want to be with them. Why? You want to understand how they think, what they need, what they want, what their desires are. He said, do that for God. Pursue God with all your might. Get to know God's qualities, his characteristics, his nature, what he's like. Stay with God so you can know God. But then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And here's the words that are used here in the original Greek. It means to the same degree. Love your neighbor to the same degree that you love yourself. In other words, the same measure that you love yourself is how you will love your neighbor, Jesus says. The implication is loving God should result in self-love, and then self-love qualifies you to love other love. Put it another way, you can only love others to the same degree and measure you love yourself. Write that down, very important. Stop trying to love people first. This is why you got hurt. If you don't love yourself, you need people to love you. And when they disappoint you, the whole bottom falls out because now you don't feel loved again. If I love me and you don't love me, I am still loved. So if you keep your love from me, I still satisfy because I loved you before you met me and I met you. So if you leave me, I still love me. So Christ is saying, look, the key is fall in love with yourself first. But that's not enough. He says, and the same measure you love yourself is the only measure you can love other people. So write this down. This is one of my favorite statements from I was 16 years old. And it goes like this. It is more important to love you than to love me. In other words, when anyone asks you or tells you they love you, your response should not be, I love you too. Wrong response. According to the kingdom of God that Jesus is establishing, he said, when they tell you, I love you, your response should be, but do you love you? Why? Because if you don't love you, you cannot love me, so you're lying. In other words, it's more important for you to love you than to love me. And I got to make sure you love you before you try to love me, because you can't love me more than you love you, so you better love you plenty. Am I getting through? See, this is why we are difficult to other people. We're trying to get them to love us so we can feel loved. That's why we're so manipulated by people. It's a sign of self-hatred. People say, I'll do anything for you. No, hold it, hold it. Don't you ever do that. And that's why it didn't work out for some of you. Because you went in looking for love. And whenever you go in looking for love, they can control you 100%. Because they could threaten to take it back anytime. Loneliness is a manifestation of self-hatred. Let me put it another way, please. Write this down. 7 ways to self-love. Please, this is good stuff. Write this down. This is fresh from manna of heaven. Number 1, self-love is a result of self-discovery. I need another seminar to teach that all by itself. You got to discover yourself first or you'll never love yourself. Number 2, self-love is a result of self-source. What I mean by that is you have to discover where yourself was sourced. Where did you come from? You cannot love yourself if you don't know where you came from. Because source determines value. Oh boy. In other words, if I took a piece of rock and I cut it in half, does it become anything else? No, it's just a piece of a rock again. And if I cut it again, what it becomes? A piece of rock again. In other words, whatever it was originally, no matter how I break it down, that's what it is. So if I took a diamond and I cut it in half, what I got? 2 diamonds. Cut it again, I got what? 4 diamonds. So now, you see, it maintains the value. So if you don't know your source, you don't know your value. Number 3, self-love is a result of self-worth. You can never give yourself worth if you don't know where you came from, and you can't know where you came from if you don't discover yourself and discover your source. In other words, you are suffering from other people's value of you. And that's why you need them to keep giving you value. Or sometimes we create value out of the things we collect. That's why the fashion industry controls your life and you're broke and depressed. Because you keep trying to buy things to give yourself value because you ain't know how much you're worth. This is why you collect cars with big names and dresses with fancy, you know, brand names and shoes with brand names, and you want to live in a certain area. Why? Because that whole thing has to do with a lack of self-love. If you need to collect things to give yourself value. That's why when you lose them, you really go crazy. Self-worth. Number 4, Self-love is a result of self-esteem. Esteem means, how much do you estimate you cost or worth? What is your estimate of your value? And some people, it is so low, they sell themselves on the street for prostitution. Sometimes they sell themselves sophisticatedly in their jobs. Or even sell themselves in a relationship that they know they shouldn't go that low, but they don't have any estimation of their true value, and so they sell themselves cheap on the altar of compromise just to have company around them. What a tragedy. You shouldn't marry anybody to make you feel important. Forget it. Self-love is a result of self-esteem. When you realize how much you are worth, you fall in love with yourself. Let me give you an example. If I gave you a plastic ring out of a Cracker Jack box and then gave you a $10,000 diamond ring and gave you both of them, which one would you really love the most? Isn't that amazing? Which one would you want to know where it is all the time? You don't care where the plastic ring is. Which one do you put in a nice leather pouch and, you know, you put it in a private place, maybe in a safe deposit? Yeah. I mean, the plastic. See, self-estimation makes you treat yourself with leather pouch experience. Don't touch this. I just can't go anywhere. I am diamond. This ain't plastic. I can't be seen just with anybody. Come on, y'all talk to me, man. See, but it has to do with your self-esteem. Self-love. That's why Christ says that's the most important love on earth. Not the love for your neighbor. And number five, self-love is a result of self-concept. Concept has to do with picture. The word concept means idea or picture. How do you picture yourself determines how you treat yourself. And that picture comes from your discovery of where you came from. You know, a diamond is a diamond is a diamond. You ever heard that? And they say a rose is a rose is a rose. In other words, once a thing is it, that's what it is. And so your picture of yourself doesn't come from other people. But we keep getting it from them. Oh, you look nice. Well, listen, I don't need you to tell me I look nice. I told myself that this morning before I left. And if you never told me, I still know I look nice. Because I'm cool, man. This is me. I love myself. You understand me? See, self-concept, you don't walk around allowing people to paint you how you should feel about yourself. You're supposed to know who you are. You know, I was thinking tonight when I was preparing to come to talk, I said, you know, Jesus Christ would not have gotten along well with most of us. He was opposite to what my mother and father taught me in the same island when I was a little boy. They said, son, never talk about yourself. And I think that came from the British oppression, colonialism, where we were taught that we were nothing, you know. So my mom is, they reported, boy, stop talking about yourself. Stop talking about yourself, boy. You know, be considerate and stop talking about yourself. Now you see, that may sound nice, but that's stupid. That's what causes low self-esteem. When your child says, well, mommy, I'm good at this. Boy, don't say you're good, you know. Stop that. Stop, you know, talking big about yourself. And they will correct you from feeling good about yourself. Now, here comes Jesus. He would not get along with us. Every day, all day, the guy was into himself. He had a picture of himself that was almost irritating. And it was irritating. That's why the Pharisees, who had low self-esteem, attacked him all the time. Because he kept using this word, I. And that's the way my mother said, you never use that word, son. Stop saying I. Remember that? Some of you all grew up with that. I. His I was constant. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the resurrection. I am the sheep gate. I am the way. I am the life. I am the bread. I am the water. I am the resurrection. I. Brother, you a lot of I. Yes, I am. That's why I don't need your opinion to tell me who I am. Now, here's what mesmerized me about Jesus. Write this down. I never, this just changed my life at 18. I wrote it down at 18. He never spoke negative about himself. Number two, he never accepted anybody's opinion of himself. Because when you have a sense of self-concept, your own picture, that other people's opinion don't touch you. Their perception don't touch you. You got to be very important to be able to say to yourself, I am. If you don't know who you are, we'll tell you who you should be. And there's your problem. Have you ever seen people do this? One of the signs of self-hatred is when you take people shopping with you all the time. Oh, I'm in trouble now, see? But I'm going to say it. See, you say, let's go shopping. Okay, we go shopping. I ain't got a problem with that. That part is okay. You know, you want friends, that's fine. But when you go to a store and you put on something that you like, and then you come out of the dressing room and say, what do you think? And she says, mm-mm, you go take it off. Now, that's stupid. That is crazy. If you like it, honey, this isn't my body. Forget what you think. I love me. I like this. Clap, clap, clap. Praise God. But that's a sign of self-hatred, see? Why? You want to dress to please the person. It's a sign of self-hatred. And I know I have seen some things that people wore that other people liked, but it didn't look good on them. I've seen some things. I told my wife sometime, she didn't see herself leaving the house today. I know that. No one would come out of the house looking like that. But they were dressed for other people. Self-hatred. Number six, self-love is a result of self-identity. When you know who you are, you fall in love with yourself. Number seven, self-love is a result of self-value. How much do you value yourself? That gives you your love for yourself. If you believe you are valuable, you fall in love with yourself. Just like that ring, that diamond or plastic. So discovery of your identity determines your attitude towards yourself, and that determines the measure of love of yourself, and that determines how much you can love me. I think this is a very important night, because we've been asking people the wrong questions. You should never ask someone, do you love me? That's the wrong question first. First question, but excuse me, do you love you? That never is asked. And that is the question. And if they are shocked by the question, leave fast. Because right away you know, they don't even know what you're talking about, see? This is why marriages don't work. People go into marriage looking for love. You don't go to marriage looking for love. You go to marriage because you already love yourself and you want to share that with someone else. That's all. You ain't looking for none. You got it already. Very important. And number seven, self-value. And here's some point I want to make here. Self-love is the source of true singleness. I think you're feeling it already. That's why I always tell people, you ain't single yet. Singleness is the most important relationship in the world. Because singleness is being totally in love with yourself first. Singleness means that you love yourself so much, if no one loves you, you're still happy. Singleness means that your best friend is yourself. You can spend all day with yourself and take yourself out for dinner. Oh, come on. I feel like shouting all by myself. And believe me, I could do it all the time. Even as a married man, take myself out for dinner and order stuff for myself. Love myself. That's why my wife is so safe, because I love myself. I won't say that, it's too deep. Okay. 10 manifestations of self-love. This is a measure. Write this down. This will tell you if you love yourself, okay? So you can measure it when you go home. Study this for the next 3 days. Come back every session. And remember, this is what we want to focus on. If you're going to be single and affluent and an influencer, you got to begin with self-love. Here's how you know if you love yourself. Number one, self-confidence. Total confidence. And by the way, when people who don't love themselves meet a person who does love themselves, they always consider them arrogant. Yeah, that's right. Because their insecurity is intimidated by their security, and so they call that arrogance. It's not arrogance, they just love themselves. Hallelujah. Number two, self-love is manifested in self-respect. If you believe you are a diamond, you don't just put yourself in any situation, go with anybody, you know, wear anything. You have self-respect. It's a sign of self-love. You got your breast out with no bra and a thin, see-through blouse. That tells me a lot about how you feel about yourself. You ain't got to tell me nothing. I can see. Oh, come on, clap anyhow. Praise God. You know, you shouldn't be that cheap around the world, selling yourself free and no one paying for it. Everyone watching, looking at you. You just lowered your value. It's a sign that you have no self-respect. Number three, self-love is manifested in self-assurance. A self-assured person, somebody who seems so assured, they almost intimidate you. They're bold. They are confident. They're not afraid. They just believe. They just know. And they make you feel afraid. That's self-love. Number four, self-love is self-assertiveness. When a person has love for themselves, they assert themselves. Now, if they don't do it to try and be pushy. Assert means that they believe they got something to offer, so they offer it. And that could be advice, direction, input. In other words, look, you know what you're doing? Let me give you some advice. And you might call that pushy. No, that's self-love being manifested. It is someone saying, look, I know what I believe, and I know in whom I believe, and I got something that you could use. Number five, self-love is manifested in self-motivation. When a person loves themselves, they are internally motivated. They don't depend on people to get them going. When you love yourself, you manage your own feelings. You decide what to do every morning yourself. You don't need no one to give you no schedule. You make your own schedule in life when you love yourself. When you love yourself, you believe that you are so important that you need to plan to give your life to the world today. Number six, self-love is manifested, write this down, in self-values. Self-value means a person who loves themselves place value on their lives so high that they don't come down to meet nobody. They bring people up where they are. They value the things that are important to them. Number seven, self-love is manifested in self-giving. Now, this one is very key. Notice Jesus said, he said, you can only love your neighbor if you love yourself. In other words, you can't give me what you ain't got for yourself. So self-love provides you with the equipment to give yourself to somebody else without expecting anything back. Let me put it another way. If I don't need you to love me and I love you, if you don't love me back, that don't matter to me. I went too fast. Let me try it again. I love me. I meet you. I love you. But I don't need you to love me because I loved me before I met you. So if you withhold your love, even though I love you, that doesn't take away anything from me because I loved you before I met you. So I don't love you to get love from you. I love you because I am full of love of myself. That's why Jesus Christ could die for us. And we turn our back and curse him. Why? Because it wasn't a matter of him needing love back. You don't understand love. He knew that he was so valuable that you needed what he had. And whether you received it or not, didn't matter. Because he had it before you even received it or not received it. Self-love is able to give itself without manipulating people. Number eight, self-love is self-affirmed, self-affirmation. Self-affirmation means when you love yourself, you tell yourself you love yourself. You don't go around saying, what do you think? No. This is what I think. I like this. Self-affirmation means you congratulate yourself. But now what I did, that was pretty good. And some of you all got ideas for that. Hey, listen, you know, I'm just like my daddy. My daddy's an amazing daddy. My daddy did this. Million galaxies, and then my daddy says, that's good. Come on, clap. My daddy. That's good. And then he made you, he said, now that's very good. See, when you have a good love for yourself, God is what? God is love. That's why he tell himself, that's good. If you wait around to be approved by everybody, that's a sign that you have self-hatred. You need other people to give you value. You know, if you love yourself, when you didn't do a good job. So you tell yourself, now that's not as good as I could be. I'll be back. Self-love gives you the confidence to be able to give yourself away and affirm yourself. And this is why self-loved people are not manipulated by anyone. This is why criticism runs off their backs like water on a cat. It's not because they can't feel, you know. It's just that their feelings are not out for manipulation. Number nine, self-love is manifested in self-forgiving. Now, this one is very deep. The average person in this room have not forgiven themselves for a lot of things yet. And sometimes you think you do, but you keep carrying this weight. Boy, what I did 5 years ago, I don't know. And you carry this thing. Oh, the things I did last year, man. Listen, when a person loves themselves, they actually have a good picture of themselves, and they say, you know, that was dumb what I did last week. Now, you know better than that, Miles. Why you did that? Stop doing that. Yes, Miles. Okay. See? They forgive themselves. We walk around trying to get people to forgive us when, in fact, we haven't forgiven ourselves. Now, remember, you can't do for others what you haven't done for yourself. So if you ain't forgiven yourself, you can't forgive me. And number 10, self-love is manifested in self-investing. Okay, if I gave you a diamond ring, would you pay to secure it? I say $50,000 diamond ring. Would you just put it on the floor? No. You would pay to get some kind of security for that, right? You'd even pay maybe for, what you call them box? Safety. Yeah, you would pay monthly for safety deposit box. Why? Because it's valuable. In other words, you would invest in something that is valuable. Now, you wouldn't get a safety deposit box for a plastic ring or a Cracker Jack box. In other words, investment is a measure of value. I love myself so much that I read, at least I try to read 4 books a month. I keep investing in myself. Why? I think I have something important to offer the world. So I keep expanding my mind, expanding my concepts, learning new things so I can learn how to be more effective. I keep investing in myself. Why? I love myself. Then I make sure I eat good food, and I try to pay a little extra to get healthy food. You know, instead of drinking, you know, just the juice drink, I drink the pulp, you know, so the pulp drink. You know, so, and it might be a little extra, but I love myself, see? And I so invest in myself because I want to be strong. I'm always ready to go, you know. At age 54, man, do you want to fight? Come on. No. In other words, when you love something, you invest in it. So here's a guy sucking on a cigarette. I tell me right away, the guy don't love his lungs. Self-love determines what you invest in. You invest to go back to evening school, to take a course that you didn't get, because you love yourself. You decide you're going to lose 20 pounds because the doctor said this ain't good for your heart, and you love yourself so much, you can invest in getting up early in the morning. A little extra jogging, you know, stop going to the all-you-can-eat section, you know. You just invest in yourself. Why? Because you love yourself. Some folks should let themselves go, and that's a sign that they don't love all of themselves. Sometimes they love the intellect, but they don't love the body. Where is your self-love? You talk about singleness. Write this down. This is very important. Every human was created to influence the world. And I want to just bring these three words to you tonight and let the others pick up on these words. I want them to write definitions down. I did a lot of research for you the last few days. Okay. Singleness and influence. Let's talk about that. When you fall in love with yourself, what happens after that? Well, here's a thought. Every human was created to influence their world. So when we talk about influence as a single, that includes you. But I get some answers for you tonight. Influence is defined as the capacity to impact one's environment. That includes the people and circumstances through presence, performance, personality, and competence. Write those words down. If you want to be an impact in the world before you die, you need those words in your life. Presence, performance, personality, and competence. You become an influence when those four things are developed in your life. Now, presence means that when you walk into a place, just walking into the place could have an impact. That's a sign that you have influence. Secondly, performance. Performance means you are so good at what you do that you demand respect. So you become an influence. You know, if Michael Jordan says, let me say a few words about basketball, everybody shuts up.
Yeah.
Why? Because he has proven by his performance he knows the game. So he has influence over that whole area. Number three, personality. Now, personality has to do with your person that you ality. The person that you display. How you walk. How you greet people. How you present yourself physically, visually, smiling, confidence, not being brash, having dignity, physical dignity. That's personality. And this last one is important, competence. If you meet somebody with a PhD in physics, all of a sudden they have influence. You get a PhD in anything, you have influence when you walk in the room. Why? You took the time to get competence in that area. That's why they say knowledge is a source of influence. And the more knowledge you get, the more influential you become. You know, this past week, I was with T.D. Jakes, 5,000 people. Yesterday, I spoke in Atlanta with Eddie Long. I just got back. And, you know, they had about maybe 7,000. And both of them invited me, one to Washington, T.D. Jakes, one to Atlanta yesterday. And they both said, we invite you because the material that we wanted you have, the content is what they use. So they flew me from my country and pay me to come and give them my content. Now, where did I get the content from? Same books that you ain't reading. And they think I'm smart. It's just that while you're watching TV, I'm reading. For the past 39 years. You could be on the phone for 2 hours and become stupid. Just talking dumb stuff. You know, shut the phone down and pick up a book and read a chapter you never knew and let your mind be expanded and your competence increase. Some of you are on a job right now and that job is being threatened. My suggestion is to beat them to the punch. Start, not the punch paper, I mean to the punch. Be careful that you don't. You have to start thinking now, what can I do to cut that off and get some competence in some other areas? What are you doing to diversify your education knowledge? What are you really good at that people will respect you for? When you walk in the room, they say, boy, that person can do that. Or who do they call on when they need certain things? That's a sign.
Productive weekend. This is your host, Cassandra Brand.
Ciao.